I want you to be aware of that. It is a joy to have each of you here. I got to meet Allie Davis's friend. Megan is here with us. Allie's going to school up in West Virginia, and so she brought her friend Megan with her. They're up in the balcony. Good to have them. And she's a West Virginia girl, so you know she's got to have some good parts about her. Praise the Lord for that. And so it's good to have each of you here. And as Daniel already mentioned, there's a connect card in front of you. If you fill that out and drop it at the guest services, we'd have a record. We'll send a note out to you. But we also just want to tell you thank you. Well, I want to preach the Bible message today. I trust it's a blessing to you. I want to preach about when Jesus passed by and the wonderful songs that are mentioned about that. And I want to preach along that line this morning. We're looking about this message, when Jesus passed by. If you turn your Bibles to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, we'll look in there, verses 5 down to 10. While you find your place in John chapter 4, I did hear this story about these little barefoot country boys, redneck boys. They were sitting outside this old country store, and they had a watermelon stand there that they were kind of watching, and somebody else was there with them, but had watermelons there. A big, long, black car came up there, shiny, beautiful, obviously from the city, and it came, pulled right up in front of that little country store, and guy come out of that car, and he said, "Hey, boys," he said, "I see you got some watermelons there." He said, "Yes, sir." "There's a big old one, 25 pounder or so probably." He said, "I'd give you $5, got a $5 bill in my pocket if you eat that watermelon." And one of those boys, he's barefoot, he run his foot alongside the top of that, and then he reached down and kind of felt it all around, kind of getting the size of it. He said, "I'll be right back." And so he ran to a little farmhouse behind the country store, and he was gone 5-10 minutes, and the guy, the city guy, he stayed there. And that boy came back down barefoot, overalls, came back down, and he said, "All right." So he just cracked that watermelon open and peeled back some of the rind, and he just went eating. He was eating and spitting out seeds, and he just slurped up the juice and used his buck teeth to peel all of that watermelon off those rind, and he just left it there on the ground. He said, "Okay, I did it." And that guy from that car, he said, "Wow." He said, "I got your $5. I'm glad to pay it." He said, I'm glad to do it." He said, "But I just have to know, why did you have to run to the house just to come back?" He said, "Well, Mama had one exactly that same size on the kitchen table. I went up. I figured if I could eat that one, I could eat this one." So, John chapter 4. I want to preach to you for just a little while. Verse number 5. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." I want to preach for a little while about this subject, when Jesus passed by. Father, be with us now in these moments, we pray, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I did want to mention to you this morning that we're going to have a baptism tonight after the service. If the Lord's been working on your heart and you're saved, you've never been baptized, then you'd like to join in on that. You see me after the service, we'll get you lined up. But back to our message, the great story is given when Jesus comes by. I have to go back to verse number 4 and give you what Jesus, the Word of God, says about him. And he must needs go through Samaria. Most of you know the story that the Samaritans were not a favored people of the Jews, of which Jesus was. They were not socially accepted. They were from a mixed background. And so the Jews, as the Word of God says, they didn't have any dealings with the Samaritans. But there was a difference this day when Jesus passed by. Brother Dan sang a song sometime back, "Oh, what a difference when Jesus passed by." There's another song that gets sung, and the Barkers are going to sing it one of these days again, but talking about Jesus passing by, and what a difference when he passed by. And we've got a beautiful story here about when Jesus goes through Samaria, and he meets this woman. Do you remember the day that you met Jesus Christ? I don't remember the first time I ever heard about Jesus. I was going to church before I was ever born. Mom was taking me for 9 months before I ever saw the light of day. And so I don't remember ever learning about Jesus. I seemed like I've always known. Now, I had to come to a place where I got born again myself. God doesn't have any grandchildren. You don't just get birthed into the family. But you remember when you met Jesus, an old preacher said, you might not remember the date. You might not know it was October the 4th, but you remember the real estate. You remember while I was there, or you remember how the Lord was dealing with your heart, and you finally said yes to Christ. Maybe it was at your mother's knee, or perhaps it was in a revival service, but I remember being in my pastor's office, and I doubted my salvation for so long, but finally getting it nailed down, and I just being sure that my faith was in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful day when Jesus passed by. In this passage, I want to look at a couple points, and I believe that the Lord did a great work in my heart, and I want to see if He'll do the same in your heart. I see, first of all, in verse number 9, that prejudice was tossed out. Look it back, if you will, in this verse. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But we see that prejudice on that day was cast out because Jesus didn't care whether we're from Samaria, whether we're from Jerusalem, whether we're from some other place. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And my friend, if you find yourself looking down on somebody because of the area that they came from, because of the tone of their skin, or because of their socioeconomic level that they find themselves sitting at, if you find yourself looking down at somebody because of advantages or disadvantages that they might have, I'm telling you this morning that you need to have a time when Jesus passes by. Because you remember, if we go back far enough, we're all coming from the same ones that God created. You remember back in the Garden of Eden, male and female, God, Adam and Eve, created He them. And we've all come from them. And so there's not much difference in you and somebody that makes five times your income. And there's also not much difference in you and somebody that makes a portion of your income. And we'll go a step further. There's not much difference from you and somebody that has a lighter or darker tone of skin than you do. My friend, the need is all still the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus passes by, prejudice is thrown out. She said, what do you want to talk to me for? None of you Jews have ever done that before. What do you want to be friendly to me for? All of your buddies have always turned and looked the other way when we come along. Very likely that's why she was there at the well at this time of day, because either her background or her lifestyle was such that she didn't want to be around other people. Cornelius Smith was born England years ago, and he was he hauled his family around in a Vardo, a little wagon pulled by a horse, and they had decorations on the outside. They were gypsies. They would go around from place to place just trying to sell their pots and their pans and different treats and trinkets, and they were trying to make their livelihood. He was in and out of jail for different infractions, and one of the times that he was in jail, he heard a chaplain. This chaplain was preaching about Jesus Christ and how Jesus would save anyone. Cornelius got saved. And he got saved, as they say, got saved all over. And when he got out of jail that time, he would take his family and they would go engage in evangelistic meetings. They would sing some and they would share leaflets, and they would just do all that they could to try to be a help to the evangelistic meetings. He had a son. That son, when he was 15 years old, he had went to the home of John Bunyan, the famed author of Pilgrim's Progress. He also heard Ira Sankey. Ira Sankey was an interesting fella. He was the song leader for D.L. Moody, who would go, of course, from Chicagoland and on this side, but he would also travel over to England. This boy, Rodney, 15 at this point, went and heard Ira Sankey, and the message was given about the gospel. Knowing that his dad had been saved, and now hearing Iris Sankey share the gospel, Rodney got saved. Rodney got saved. He not only got saved, but he got called to preach soon after there, and he surrendered his life to the ministry. It said about Gypsy Smith, as he was always referred to, he would come across the pond back and forth, come across the Atlantic 45 times in preaching evangelistic meetings here and over there, never leaving his name, Gypsy Smith. Now, my friend, I don't care if you're a gypsy or a Jew or a Gentile or an American, an Indian, an African, or wherever you stem from. My friend, the need in your heart, in my heart, is still the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus passes by, we will find that prejudices are thrown out of the way. That's why the scripture says, go ye into all the world. Not only does prejudice get thrown out, but I want you to look at verse 12 a little further than we read earlier. Verse number 12 says, art thou greater than our father Jacob? This is the lady talking to Jesus. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? You better believe he was. Bet your bottom dollar he was greater than your father Jacob. He's the creator. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children, his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto them, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. When Jesus passed by, not only did prejudice get ejected. Don't tell us how much you make or how little. Don't tell us what side of the tracks you were born on. All of us, as they say, find level ground at the foot of the cross. Prejudice was ejected, but not only was that when Jesus passed by, but secondly, our eyes are taken from the physical to the eternal. She's looking down that well. She said, this well's been here for years and years and years. He said, but I'm going to tell you about a well that's springing forth with everlasting water. And we find that she's telling about this water that's going to thirst, you'll thirst again from, but he says, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. She's talking about quenching a desire that comes again and again, but he's talking about eternal life. And we see that the shift is made in these verses from what can be seen to what can't be seen. And my question to you today that I ask is this, are our thoughts based upon what we can see or what we can't see? When Jesus passes by in my life, I'll start being more concerned about the things that are eternal. I'll start being more concerned about the things that matter for all of eternity instead of what's right in front of me, I'm embarrassed to admit. But oftentimes when problems come into my life and Amy's life, when we're coming together, I'll be discussing that situation and coming up with possible solutions and saying that we can do this and we can do that and maybe even seeing what the ramifications of those decisions that we would make might be. But I'll be discussing that for some long time before it ever hits me. Now, some of you old timers will know there used to be a commercial on TV where a fellow slapped his forehead and said, I could have had a V8 about the juice. But as real as that, it will come to me, I haven't even prayed about this problem that we're discussing. But then Jesus comes by and reminds this preacher that everything that I get engaged in is supposed to have that tone of what would Jesus do? He used to have those little cloth bracelets. A lot of kids would wear them around WWJD, and that'd be a great way for us to live our lives. One person put it like this, prayer ought to be your first response, not your last resort. But sometimes we delve around in the problems of our life and we try to think about what I could do, should do, or would do. But when Jesus passes by, our eyes get taken from the physical to the eternal. There was a pastor who was getting a tour of this beautiful church. And this host pastor was so proud of every aspect of this building. He showed him around from ornate part to another ornate part. He looked and said, you can see, and he would tell about the architecture, and he would tell about the fabric that was lining the pews was imported from somewhere else, and he was telling about all of these niceties of this church, and they were stepping outside the door, and it was getting dark, and the lights had clicked on, and he pointed up to the top of the steeple. He said, you see that cross at the top of the steeple? He said, I do. The spotlight was shining on that cross. He said, that cross alone, not the whole steeple, but that cross alone, cost $10,000. The preacher that was getting the tour was just an old country boy. He had had about as much as he could take of all of the things that they were bragging, or they were not bragging, but just he was just excited about it. But he'd had about all that he could take. When he said that cross up on top of the steeple cost $10,000, that country boy couldn't take it anymore. He said, well, you got cheated. And he said, what do you mean I got cheated? He said, you got cheated. He said, that's the finest that you could get, $10,000. He said, you got cheated. He said, "What in the world do you mean?" He says, "Every person I've ever told about the cross got to come for free." And my friend, when Jesus comes by your life, when Jesus gets into your day, when as you as a believer, when you yield yourself to Him, then your eyes go away from the temporal, the earthly, the fleshly, and they go toward the eternal. When Jesus passes by in our lives, we start seeing things differently. All of a sudden, when Jesus comes into my life and starts showing me what I should do on a regular basis, I realize that my three children aren't mine. They're God's, whom He entrusted into our home. I realize that the money sitting over in the accounts at Eastman Credit Union is not mine. It's God's. He's just let me be a steward of it. I realize that the acquaintances and the friends that I have are not mine, but instead they're opportunities to share the gospel with everybody that will listen before my life is over. And me as the pastor, I come into this church and I realize this is not my job. Instead, this is the ministry that God has given me for His glory. And when Jesus comes by in my life, not only do I kick prejudice out, but I also have my eyes taken from the temporal to the eternal. Can I give you one more before we leave in verse number 16, also that we did not read before? Then Jesus saith unto her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." She said a mouthful there. She says, "I have no husband." Jesus saith unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband." As the saying goes, you get to the nitty-gritty here because as the scripture says, she'd been married multiple times and the one she was with now was not her husband. You say, was Jesus calling out and trying to make her feel bad? Not on your life. Jesus is letting the woman know that He knows the real story. This woman is someone who hasn't lived righteously, but here's the issue of the day. When Jesus comes by, she needs to get real before she can get right. She needs to be honest with God before she can get right with God. They go on to say, the woman said unto her, verse number 19, unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Oh, a prophet of prophets and the creator of prophets. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. I see thirdly that we have to get real before God. When Jesus passes by your way, you're forced to get right or get real with God. In our society, nobody wants to say that anything is wrong. It's not a wrong lifestyle. It's just different than yours. It may not be right for you, but it's my truth. I'm finding my path, my way. Well, you remember what the Bible says, that still wide is the path that leadeth to destruction. We never like to pin anybody down and say, that is wrong. But my friend, if you're living on a path that's contrary to what the Word of God says, your path is wrong and His path is right. And what Jesus does on that day, when He comes by and He'll do the same thing in our lives, He makes us get real before God. As we give the gospel, we often say it's the good news of the gospel. Well, what would that good news be in contrast of? The bad news of our life up to that point. The bad news is that we're sinners. We have, for a lifetime, we have disobeyed and rebelled against God. That's the bad news. But the good news of the gospel is that Christ died for those sins that we committed. And this woman was forced to face the fact that she was living in a way that didn't measure up to what God wanted. An old preacher in North Carolina, he's gone in heaven now. He said, "I never have any trouble getting people saved," meaning that show them the gospel and show them to be saved. He said, "Where I have problem is getting people lost." And what he was trying to convey was a person must see their need of a Savior and the fact that we fall so very, very short of what would be acceptable to come into heaven. You say, "John, nobody is perfect." Exactly my point. And that's why Christ came. And so Christ wasn't trying to demean this woman. He certainly wasn't. Christ wasn't trying to minimize her value. What Christ was doing, as he said, call your husband, was getting her to confess that I need a Savior. This is not only true for those that need to be saved, but it's also true for you and I, as if you're saved, that when Jesus comes by in your relationships, when he comes by in your life, you're going to be more honest and more real to the people who you're around. Let me tell you this. If I'm not careful, whenever I have to apologize to Amy because I do something wrong at the house, it's been so long, it kind of gets fuzzy when the last time was that I did anything like that. But here's what happens if I'm not careful. I'll apologize, and then I'll put a but on the end of it. But you know I'm tired. But you know I have a headache. But you know I'm not feeling good. But you know somebody was short with me earlier. But you know I didn't get much sleep, or whatever. But I'm finding this. When Jesus moves in on those situations, and I'm right with him, I just will tell her or whoever, I'm sorry, full stop. Because when Jesus moves into my thinking, I don't constantly have to be excusing and saying, well, because when you say I'm sorry, but, it's really like you're saying, I'm not that sorry, you know I'm whatever, I'm Irish or redheaded or from West Virginia, you know I'm a redneck or whatever. Yeah, just put on whatever excuse you want. What that's saying is minimizing your offense. But when Jesus moves in on your situation and you realize who you are and who he is, all of a sudden you're fine with just saying, I'm sorry. That's it. No explanation afterwards. So this morning, if you are not saved, not sure of heaven, not sure of Jesus as you're being your Savior, I've been praying for you that Jesus would pass by and would show you your need, that you're a sinner and need to be saved. But then for some of us that are saved, yet we always try to put ourselves up one more over someone else. My prayer for you has been that when Jesus passes by you, you'd kind of drop some of that pretense and you just get real and right with him. Let me ask you this. I think it'll illustrate it. How do we watch the news? Do you watch the news, be it here in the States or in the Middle East, all that's going on, and say, oh my goodness, what a wicked group of people? Or do we watch that and say, those folks need Jesus Christ? Jesus can come by even while you're watching that news. Now, if he comes by, you might not watch it long because I can't think that it's too encouraging. You know, that one person said that they come on that broadcast and say good evening, then continue to tell you why it's not a good evening. But when Jesus comes by, even while you're watching that, your mindset will be that, not looking down on those people saying, well, boy, look at that wicked riffraff. But your mind will go, those folks need the Lord. And I'm praying that every believer in this room or watching or listening would let Jesus come by your way today. And that you'd be right with God. You'd kick prejudice to the curb. And we'd get our eyes on the things that are eternal, not on the things that are temporal. And then if you're here today or listening, and Jesus, you know about him, you maybe like me, you can't remember when you didn't know his name. But you is it ain't you can't remember when you didn't know his name. But today, for some different reason, the Lord seems to be coming by your way. My prayer has been, as I was getting ready for this message, that Jesus would come by the pews of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. My prayer has been that you would allow him to dwell with you. If you need to be saved, that you would be saved. But if you're saved and you know the Lord, that you would allow him to be so close to you that you would kick prejudice out of your life. You would stop those thoughts of, well, those people. Instead, you would start realizing that those people need the same thing that you have, the advantage of having left, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus passed by, everything changed when he passed by. Amen. Today, would you make a decision for Jesus Christ? If you're unsaved, would you be saved? If you're saved, would you let him come? And you say, John, he's already with me, and I know he is. But would you let him dwell with you in a very real, more manifested way, and where you know that you're close in his place? Kick out the prejudice. It would start making us value the eternal more than the temporal. Oh, every time. And it would make us get right.
Get real.
With him. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, we're so grateful for the chance to preach your word. And I pray that not just as a song is sung, not just as the
title of a message given, but truly we would see that you would come by our way. And if there's one or a few that need to be saved, I pray they would get saved this morning. If there's a Christian that needs to get real with you, and get right with you, I pray they would do it in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for what you do. Amen. Would you stand together as they begin to play something through? As they play, would you pray? If you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Let Daniel or somebody take the Word of God and show you that how what it says about going to heaven. Only one way, not our way, not the Baptist way, Jesus Christ. Would you come? And if you're here and a Christian, and Jesus has shown you some things this morning, he's done you the wonderful, sweet privilege of coming by your way, would you make a commitment to him?
Would you do what he wants you to do?
Would you obey what he's told you this morning? Whatever your need is, would you come? As I mentioned just a bit ago, Lord willing, we'll baptize at least one tonight. Maybe you need to jump in with that crew and you need to be baptized as well. Follow Christ in believer's baptism. Whatever your need is, would you step out and come? Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Have thine own way. Could you say that in your heart? Lord, have your way with me. Have thine own way. Thank you so much. You may look this way. I'm going to ask the Haleys, if you don't mind, to slip back to your table in the lobby, and I hope that you're able to get by and see them. And again, this will be who Miss Summer is going to serve with alongside of. They're a wonderful, wonderful couple. We just feel like we've known them for decades, even though I haven't, but they're just wonderfully warm and blessed of the Lord. So I hope that you get by and meet them. And then also, we will have a wonderful service tonight. Looking forward to all that goes on. And then next week, I wanted to share with you that during the 8:45 and the 11, but during the 8:45, we'll feature Brother Nick Sandridge. He's married to Elizabeth Farmer Sandridge. They'll be singing, providing special music in that 8:45 service. If you want to come try that out, Brother Chapp will be speaking both. And so we'll have some special music going on then. And then the choir will sing at 11. We'll have a great service on both of them. But I want to share that with you so you can know. And we're just so excited about what the Lord is doing here. And Daniel already mentioned that the Oasis group, that's those 55 plus. Maybe you don't typically go to that, but I invite you, Brother Dan, they have a wonderful, wonderful time. You say, I wouldn't know anybody. That'll be solved in 2 seconds. If you come into the gym, the Family Life Center, 11:30 on Tuesday, and just come in, and they often bring a covered dish or something like that, and you'd be welcome. They would welcome that, I'm sure. But come and fellowship with them. It's a wonderful ministry. So thank you for being here this morning. What a joy to be in church. Make sure you greet some folks before you leave. God bless. You're dismissed. Mm-hmm.